voices wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love?
This won't be on in a biker bar, but I get your drift. Strangers in the Night. If you have a daughter, or you are the daughter, where would you think it'd be better to meet someone, in on the internet or in a biker bar? This was a poll done by Zogby International. They do lots of interesting polls. We'll go to the phones on this one and ask John first. John in Tacoma, hello.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Yeah, I ride, and there's nothing wrong with most bikers out there. I would prefer to have a meter in a biker bar.
And why would that be better than the internet?
You just hear all these weird stories about, you know, perverts and, you know, murderers and stuff on the internet.
Mm-hmm. And the biker bars have the good sense to keep their pervert murderer stories to themselves.
They keep them to themselves.
Yeah, to themselves. I'm with you, babe.
Well, they also police their own.
You can't stereotype us all like that.
That's right. So, but you just stereotyped the entire internet. I like that. And in a biker bar, if she goes in there, what sort of instructions would you give your daughter?
What instructions?
Yeah. How to pick the best bike?
There isn't a pick the best biker, Bob.
No, but there are some things he ought to hear.
Well, you know, I mean, I make good money, and she likes to ride. She's 19. She's old enough to do what she wants to do.
So, all right, choose to your own liking.
Yeah.
You trust your daughter. That's good. That's good stuff.
Right. You gotta get along with who you're with, you know.
How old is she?
She's 19.
19. All right. So this question hit close to home.
Sure.
Would you like to know how the national poll went?
Sure.
All right. We're going to talk to a few geeks. Stay tuned. We'll let you know in a few minutes. Okay. Which would parents rather have, their daughter date a stranger from a biker bar or someone from the internet? Kevin.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Casey.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
I definitely think the biker bar, because in person, on the internet, anybody can be anything. In person, if a guy claims to be a Boeing engineer and he looks and smells like he's working at the sewage recycling plant, I think it's an easy spot.
He might be working on the toilets of the airplane.
And by the way, there's a guy from the sewage recycling plant on line 7. He says that they make fine husbands. Thank you, Kevin. That's your brother, Kevin.
That's Kev, yeah, biker.
Wayne, hello.
Yeah, I got to go with the biker bar just because, you know, like the last caller said, you know, anybody on the internet could be any kind of psycho. And, you know, I'm you know, quote-unquote a biker, and I know plenty of bikers, and they're all decent people. And, you know, just because we ride bikes doesn't mean, you know, it's not like a Hell's Angels bar.
Right. There's lots of great biker organizations that do a lot for charity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and plus, I mean, if she's old enough to be going into a bar, you know, she should be old enough to take care of herself and make those decisions for herself. On the internet, I mean, they're stalking kids that are 16, 17, or younger, you know, so who knows what you're going to find out there.
Oh, you're going to be ending up on an episode of Dateline.
Yeah.
It could be horrible.
Or get some of that Oprah book money later on when she writes her story, you know.
Okay. There you go.
And in terms of bikers, what I'm hearing here is also from lots of bikers, of course, mm-hmm. but I'm hearing you like bikers, and you think they make good husbands?
Well, I'm married. I've been married for 13 years, and I'm a biker. My wife rides, and we're doing pretty good.
All right.
A couple of good kids, you know.
All right. I got a couple biker friends.
Yes, you do.
More than a couple, actually. I don't know why I've never gotten on a motorcycle.
Because you're the worst driver on the planet. We won't let you.
That's it. Ron, hello.
End the mystery too quick.
I need metal around me. Lots of metal and airbags.
Yeah.
Ron, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Well, Bob, I'm the one that's going to be choosing the internet because it's more of a controlled situation, and I agree with the other callers that anybody can be anything on the internet. But for me, I'm a father of 5 girls, so I worry about them every day, and as a matter of fact, who they meet anywhere, even if it's Chuck E. Cheese. Now, granted, I've got nothing against bikers, but when it's more controlled where I can be there, I trust my daughters when they go out, but I don't know who they're seeing when they're out of the house. I have no control over that. At least where they're in the house, they can talk to whoever they, you know, meet on the internet, find out about this person before they actually decide to go out and meet them. When you're out at the biker bar, you can still do the same thing out there. The guy could pose as somebody else who he really isn't, And that's what my concern would be. And this way, if they're at home on the internet, chatting with people,
on the safe, secure internet,
right.
Right, and this way I can, you know, listen to them while they're talking on the internet, still be able to clean my shotgun while I'm sitting on the sofa, who they're going to be sitting next, you know.
I just think it's funny that you guys think there's a distinction between the two. They both are exactly the same. You could meet, I can't tell you how many people and friends I know that have met people in bars, and they say they're one way, and they turn out being a complete different kind of person. Same thing can happen on the internet. It's both the same thing.
Well, exactly. And Casey, what's interesting about this to me is, I don't know if most of us are aware, because even at your age, it wasn't that common. But I've got 21 and 23-year-olds. The internet, they look down. It's funny, the bikers were quick to disparage the internet. The internet's full of creeps.
Well, the dirtbag losers are searching for, if you're old enough to go to a bar, you're too old for somebody looking on the internet.
And
that's a fact.
It's funny, bikers used to be disparaged that way. People would say, bikers.
Man, he's got a knife hanging on his waist, probably got a drug problem.
But now the bikers, the bikers have someone they can discriminate against, and it's the internet.
At least I'm not on the internet, man. I'm going to jail again tomorrow, but I'm not on the internet.
But the fact is that, at least from what I see with my kids, the internet is the number one place to meet people. It's number one.
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
And could I tell you something? The beautiful thing about the internet is that they do truly talk to somebody who they like and get an actual name, phone number, and whatever. Hey, I can just turn around and use that internet myself to go and do a background check on this person, find out where they're really coming from, find out if they're...
I would have hated if it would have you
the tool
dad.
Of the hand, shall we?
Something about the trust the father has in his daughter.
Thank you. I'm all for the background check. Did anybody read the article yesterday about how... it was in the Times, I think. It's never been easier to be your own private detective.
I saw that, where you can pretty much find out anything about...
You can do a background check on anybody and learn anything.
Exes, current boyfriends, you can research all that.
And it's pretty scary, too, because a lot of people are taken advantage of by that. There's so much information about anybody out there. I saw one nice old lady who got scammed bad because somebody researched her. They call her up at her house and say, you know, is this Ethel Johnson? She says, we've got a problem with your credit cards, and they know everything about every, because they got your credit
cards. Yeah, scammers can get a good background information so that whatever their flim-flam story is,
right?
Wow, they know about
it. Yeah, and they knew.
And this must be my bank.
They knew the last three houses she'd lived in. So after they've pelleted her with information about herself, they said, we've got to stop this right now. We just need the last four digits of your Social Security number. And then she's like, oh, well, you bet. It's blah, blah, blah. And bam.
My Social Security number is 14.
15 minutes later.
Yeah, I was one of the first ones to get one. 14.
14 was my Social Security number.
We're going to 100.
1-800-252-1025. Where would you have your daughter meet someone? A stranger in a biker bar or someone she meets on the internet? Rebecca.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Speaking from the standpoint of a female biker who met her husband on the internet over 11 years ago.
You may be the most impartial call we get.
You know, I love riding and I love biker bars. I love that whole crowd. And taking into account that nowadays most of your bikers are going to be the doctors and lawyers who can afford those $25,000 to $35,000 hogs. You know, biker bars aren't a bad place to meet people, but I have to agree 100% with Casey that both places you have the risk of meeting somebody who turns out exactly the opposite
of what they say they are.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm partial to the internet only because I got this big hunk of loving that's sitting next to me in the car right now.
Right. And, was that his screen name?
Yeah,
well, I'm big hunk 1155. Yahoo.com.
So you can find a big hunk of hairy biker on the internet. You don't have to go to a bar to do that.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. You can pick up the same quality of man in both places.
She went right along with you calling her husband a big hairy biker.
Hunk 11.
That's good. All right, Rebecca.
And he is too. He's great.
All right, you go give him a squeeze. Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
All right. Monty is in Nordland. Monty, hello.
Hi. Hey, if she's old enough to be in a bar, that means she's got to be 21 years old. Pretty much out of anyone's control. She's going to make her own choices. Hate to see me go. Bye-bye.
All right. Monty was in a hurry, but his point was none of our business where our daughter meets someone if she's 21.
I know, but that's otherwise why I asked the question. That kind of
Zogby International asked the question, and here was the.
There was actually even a third option.
It was a third option. It turns out most parents would rather have their daughter. Let's see.
There was a third choice presented to the question.
Majority of parents say they'd rather have their daughter date a stranger she met in a biker bar. Biker bar!
Of course.
Than someone she met online. Parents also say they'd rather, if they were given it, they were added a third choice.
Uh-huh.
They'd rather have her date a guy she met at a Star Trek convention than either of those two places. When the third, when
oh,
that was.
Oh, God, yeah, I didn't know that was an option. I've never seen female genitalia yet. I'm not ready to now. I'll wait. I'll wait.
You think that's it?
Oh, yeah. Geeks, yeah. Please.
No, those are the scariest people of the three.
What?
What do you mean?
Well, I just don't know about those Star Trek people, you know. They may want to take you and make you one of those Romulan love slaves or something.
Would you like to see my life-size recreation of the Enterprise sick bay? I have it in the basement of my house.
Yeah, those Star Trek people are way more scary than, say, deadheads who want to indoctrinate you into their cult and have you follow a band from coast to coast.
Excuse me, but both of you are talking now about your daughter dating a 45-year-old?
That's true.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house.
There's something in your house that a California lawmaker wants to make illegal.
I want to point out it is here in the United States. Sometimes these stories are misleading because they're in some weird island somewhere where they have strange customs. But no, this is here in the United States. And if this thing is made illegal, it would affect every single one of you homeowners listening, because you all own these. You own more than one. Guaranteed. What could it be? Mike in Monroe. What do you think they want to make illegal?
Yeah, well, I thought it was going to be a microwave, but I only got one.
You only have one microwave. But still curious, why would you think they want to make a microwave illegal?
Just because they radiate food. Microwaves.
That's what we have them for, is to radiate food.
Thank God they do.
To heat it up.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it, but my mom, she hasn't had one because she's afraid that it's going to cook her soul or something.
That's an AC/DC song.
And they may. For all we know, they may cook your soul. That could be what's wrong with the world, really. We will be just finding out. Yeah.
Well, it does actually change the chemical composition of the food. The food physically changes when you put it in the microwave.
And people's souls have been gradually declining. I'm with you. Darren, in concrete, what do you think they want to make illegal?
I was thinking a gasoline-powered lawnmower.
And why would the government suddenly turn on gasoline-powered lawnmowers?
All the pollution they put out.
Yeah, the green lawn effect.
All right, it's not that. He went with the pollution rather than the fact that the fingers that they chop off.
Or the noise at 9 o'clock in the morning.
And if they made lawnmowers illegal, or gasoline-powered ones, what would you use then?
Hand-pushed, you know. I still got a push mower.
I have a rechargeable electric motor that has no emissions.
Of course you do.
And it's quiet.
Right.
Is it a Prius mower?
Well, it's close.
Rechargeable, so no cord?
Nothing.
Wow.
It's brilliant, yeah.
Jake in Seattle, what do you think this lawmaker wants to make illegal?
I think they want to make cans of whipping cream because you suck the nitrous oxide out of them.
Because you suck the nitrous oxide out of them.
Yeah, man.
It's one of those last ways to get high that the government hasn't found and made illegal yet.
That's right. Yeah. You know, nitrous oxide, laughing gas, dentist, woo, party on.
So the government's going to step in and make the only tubbed whipped cream available to the masses.
I think he's got a valid theory
does.
There.
From a guy who's sucked a whippets in his past, trust me. That's
you have done that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
You have no idea. We worked in a kitchen when I was a food prep. I told you this, that I was food prep.
I thought he was kidding. I didn't know.
No. I was 17 at the time and worked in a big restaurant.
Hold on, sir. Are you doing it now?
Sound like it.
No.
Okay.
No. So, you know, a balloon party is a really good thing to go to. You get the bottle of nitrous if you know somebody that, you know, has connections, fill up balloons, pass them around the party.
It's a good thing that somebody dies.
Right. It's all fun and games till somebody can't have
opinions of listeners are not necessarily those of CBS Radio. Thank you, Jake.
Problem with using that stuff without the help of a professional is you're not getting an oxygen mix. You'll starve your brain, and yes, you'll die.
Can you find a doctor to give you whipped cream hits? Can you do that?
No, but you can find a doctor.
It can be used
to work on your teeth.
Monitor your intake.
Cindy, hello.
Hey.
What do you think the government's going to make illegal?
Is it going to be a television?
Will it be a television? Oh, that's a good guess, because the old-style televisions, the analog televisions, that signal is going to go away in a number of years. It won't make the televisions illegal, but it'll make them useless.
Well, they're hard to get rid of, too, those monitors, right? They're nothing but landfill forever.
But that's not it. Thank you. I like this. We do have a correct answer standing by. May or may not be you on hold. Rob, hello.
I'm going to guess a knife over 6 inches.
Kitchen knives over 6 inches because?
They're used in violent crimes.
Is that right?
It takes longer to kill somebody with a 1-inch knife. You can do it, but it just takes so long.
Yeah.
The cops usually show up before you're done.
What about gourmet kitchens and cooks and stuff? They have huge knife sets. Those would be illegal in your world?
Well, it was just a guess. It was one of the first things that came to my mind.
Big knives.
We do all own more than one.
Yeah.
Anybody that owns a home.
It's a great guess, but no, you get to keep your knives.
All right.
Rob, thanks. Nice meeting you.
Yeah, you can buy a machete. You can go in. I don't think you need a license.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Eric, what do you think that this lawmaker wants to make illegal?
Home theater surround sound systems.
Illegal.
Illegal.
Why?
Because it's affecting the movie theater industry because people are watching
California.
It's a California lawmaker. And they'll go to door to door. Do you have a home theater?
No, I don't.
I have several. I'm 21, bought my first home at 3 home theaters.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
So they should not be. You should not be allowed to have a theater in your home.
Oh, no, you should be allowed to have a theater in your home. It's ridiculous, the restrictions that they want to put on it.
Who wants to put?
This lawmaker you're talking about, Bob.
What do you call it? The home theater, or not the home theater, the
movie
theater
industry.
Association.
Yeah.
And did you actually read something like this?
Oh, yeah, I read the article. It was about 2 weeks ago, and they want to limit your house to like a 19-inch TV. Anything over 19-inch.
He's punking us.
I can't hear that.
I'm like, well, I use my 64-inch, and there's no way I'm getting rid of that.
So the government would send vehicles around to confiscate your TVs. They come in with a big measuring tape.
I got the screen! It's only 42 inches. Put it on the truck.
Thank you for an amusing call, Eric.
Imagine if they force you to go to the theater by limiting what you could have in your own home. That's a... man.
There's always been a feel that advances in technology will put various technologies out of business. When television came along, it was supposed to put radio out of business. The movies were supposed to be put out of business also by television. The movies were supposed to be put out of business by videos.
Right.
And then when videos didn't do anything but make the movie business grow... It was said that DVDs were too perfect a copy of the movie, and that would kill the movie business.
Now, is the movie business dying, though? Aren't less people going, but they're making up the money by charging more at the gate?
Well, it depends on what you call the movie business. Are less people going to the theaters? I think they had a relatively flat year after many years of growth.
Well, if more people are out there, movie going age.
What is the story? Mike is the Internet Movie Database guy. Do a little research on that. As an industry, I think it's incredibly healthy.
Making billions, sure, but...
Last year, I think, wasn't a great year for movies, but it wasn't a great year for good movies that came out.
Yeah,
I mean,
crappy movies.
When you have good movies, people go see them.
And Jay, what do you think they want to make illegal in your house? Hello.
I guess this was wishful thinking on my part, because Washington State's kind of a Me Too state, and so I thought if they did it, we'd do it. But I thought it was the interest-only loans.
Interest-only loans. In other words, you can't buy a house unless you have some money.
The guy from the whipped cream got me laughing and thinking, and I thought...
The interest-only loan, as you took a hit. Yeah.
I think interest-only loans ought to not be illegal, but you ought to not be able to get them unless you are incredibly rich. In other words, they're giving them to young people with no piss pot to whatever.
Give one to me.
Well, wait a minute. What if the interest of the value of your house is rising so fast? If you pay an interest-only loan,
That's his point. Counting on the appreciation in a fluctuating market should not let people take that kind of a chance.
Well, even if you want to go long term, I mean, you're not making out if you're interest only.
All right, thank you, Jay.
Is it them glue traps that kill mice?
No.
Okay.
Wow, a lot of bad guesses here, but here's Adam with an interesting one. Adam, what do you think they want to make illegal to have in your home in California?
Morning, everybody. I was thinking it might be fireplaces.
No fireplaces.
What?
Your reasoning.
Well, I was at least thinking wood fireplaces, because untended, they could easily cause...
A wood fireplace would definitely go up.
Yeah.
I like mine made of brick.
My first pig made his fireplace of straw. That was just a bad idea. You know, and the second little pig got a fireplace made of wood. Now, while it held together longer, it did still eventually go up in flames. Smart.
We're silly. We know what he meant.
Well, there's not much good that comes from burning wood other than keeping people warm.
Bruno, what are they going to make illegal in California?
Other than heat.
Dimmer switches.
Dimmer switches. Why a dimmer switch?
Because people connect them to the wrong items and it creates a fire hazard.
I didn't know that. But it's not that.
Well, any electrical code, you know, there's already laws in place for that. You don't need to put in a law.
Doug, in Seattle, when are they going to make illegal in California in your home?
My thought is smoke detectors.
Smoke detectors, why?
I believe they contain a small amount of radioactive material.
On Krypton, they're commonplace, but here on Earth... Wow.
And what else happens after that radioactive material? What does it do to you?
My thought is some paranoid politician thinks he can get enough smoke detectors and build a bomb.
He's hoarding them. Yes, I'd like 42 smoke detectors, please.
Okay. I've got the answer. He's been on the phone for a little while. Here's John in Puyallup. John, what is it that this California legislator, I'll tell you who he is, Assemblyman Lloyd Levine of Van Nuys, is proposing what?
Incandescent light bulbs.
Incandescent light bulbs be made illegal.
I thought it was Mexican day help. Okay. I thought I was trying to make Mexicans illegal in your home. Because once you said California, I thought that was the
idea. And there were two Mexicans at least in every home?
Yeah.
Incandescent light bulbs.
What does incandescent mean?
Incandescent light bulbs are the hot burning, hot filament light bulbs that most of you have grown up with. Mm-hmm. Now, these days, there are those efficient, compact fluorescent lamps, the one with the spiral shape inside,
genie squiggle
that are way more energy efficient and they last a lot longer. And this guy says, you know what? As a way to cut down energy consumption and emissions burning, we should make them illegal and force everyone to change their light bulbs once. And then apparently the savings are huge. Is that right?
Yeah, there's the fluorescent is way cheaper. They last way longer. The only issue I found, and we talked about this once before, I did get some emails, is they don't work on with those dimmer switches as well. You put them on a dimmer switch and they just zap right out. Mm. Now, I guess they're making
special dimmer switches for them.
Yeah, I guess they make special, fancy, expensive dimmer switches and stuff. But if the technology is there to say that would save just who knows how many gazillions.
Who knows?
Of
we don't even need to know. We just need to know that it's good and follow along like sheep.
Well, we need to know that it's good in every way, that you don't have a bunch of burned.
There's no
out
downside to it.
Well, the downside is $7 a bulb, right?
Yeah.
One time you change your light bulbs.
Well, you tell people that they got to lay out money ahead of time to save money down the road, and most people won't do it.
But if you start mass producing them to the point to where you're producing them on the level of the others...
You can hand them out right next to the needle exchange program for people that need it.
When did Edison invent that light bulb?
Hand them out with the free condom.
I mean, isn't that light...
Not my school, no way!
Isn't that light bulb technology...
100 years old.
100 plus years old. Yeah. That's the same essential light bulb that we're using today.
Yep, I mean, carbon filament light bulb.
If you came up with a better light bulb...
I think I would support this bill. Would you?
Yeah, I use...
Screw anybody who can't come up with... I mean, when I say screw, you know what I'm talking about. The light bulb. I'm not making a personal attack. If you can't unscrew all the light bulbs in your house and replace them, if that's going to break you, then apply for a government grant to to replace your light bulbs. Otherwise, I think everyone out there should do their little part. We should make it a law.
You can't. No.
Let's call the guy who was making it illegal for dogs to
Legal for dogs to be in bars.
To be in bars, because he'll do this for us if we ask him nicely. We gave him a bunch of time yesterday.
Congressman Wags McKennell was his name.
I use them everywhere I can. I will tell you one thing though: women don't like them.
Why?
I don't know. It's both my daughter and my wife don't like those squiggly.
Do you have
dogs.
Them in your house, John?
Yes, I do. I got about half of them in my house. I just change over about six of them, probably a year, six or seven a year, as the others burn out.
Did you know that that was the answer based on your experience at home, not on reading the article?
Nope. I heard it last night on the radio.
What station?
Gosh, I don't remember what it was. I was down in Portland, so.
Okay. Well, good answer. And explain to me again about the Chicago Bears player. His name is?
Tank Johnson, former Washington Husky. Kid I watched play live over the Husky Stadium.
All right.
Great,
he
great
shouldn't be
player.
Allowed to cross state lines and play in the Super Bowl.
You know, I think he should, but everybody's always bitching and moaning about how athletes are getting special treatments. This guy was, he's got pending drug charges. The court says you can't leave the state with drug charges hanging over your head. Now,
drug or gun?
Gun, I'm sorry, gun. My apologies, gun
right.
charges, my bad.
And confuse drugs with guns.
Right.
They're never in the same place.
Right, so the judge said, a judge in Cook County, Illinois, home of the Bears, says, yeah, I'll make a special exception. You can cross state lines. You can go play the Super Bowl in Miami. Now, he's at the media day yesterday, and he's being peppered with all these questions about his criminal past. You know, he had one charge dismissed of aggravated assault on a police officer. That was dismissed. And, you know, don't want to hang a guy for something that was dismissed. Had to be dismissed for a reason. Wasn't found guilty. But this latest drug charge, they went to his home.
Gun charge.
I'm sorry. It's so hard to not make that call. This latest gun charge for Tank Johnson, six guns.
And our point is you keep equating gun with thug. And maybe he is a thug. I don't really know.
I don't know either.
But he did a nice job defending himself. Do we have the audio from that somewhere? Can we look for it?
We can find it. Tank
okay.
Johnson.
Tank Johnson.
It's all over the
it.
Place. I can give you the transcript of it. That's
what
on
he
ESPN.
Say?
He says, you know, just because I have a large earring, just because I have dreadlocks, because I'm an African-American male, because I, you know, wear sunglasses.
Tattoos
wow. doesn't make me a thug. You guys are I've allowed you to stereotype me because of how I look and you know, and how I okay. dress. And I'm thinking, you know, it's not the appearance, it's not the tattoos, the... You know, 8-carat earring. It's not the sunglasses. It's not the dreadlocks. It's the fact that you had six guns in your house and that you've glorified this gun
now,
packing mentality.
I only have like two or three guns in my house, so I don't know. Having six guns in your house, you have to do some sort of special sign in the window or something.
You have to be a gun dealer, basically, to have six guns in your house. You have to open a store.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you can have six guns in your house if you've got permits and licenses and you're. Identified as a legal gun carrier.
Does each
carrier,
gun have
not.
Its own permit?
I don't know Illinois rule.
I don't know the law. Is it different in every state?
I'm sure it is.
And it depends on the guns. I don't think you need a permit to have
a rifle?
22 rifle or right. a 12-gauge shotgun, but he had some assault rifles.
We have Susan in Seattle on the phone. Susan has 56 guns, and she takes issue with what Spike said. Susan, hello.
Hello. I just wanted to make a remark about the... Spike being so kind of
gun-shy.
I got the impression he was surprised at how, why would you need him, and but you know there's a lot of different reasons to own guns.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I and as far as licensing, you don't you know unless you want to carry it and it's a handgun, you need a license. But to physically own rifles or long guns or whatever, collector or not, all the guns I own work. I go and shoot them fairly regularly, and but that doesn't make me a gangster, does it, Spike?
Well, when you're
sure
when you're
like
she does not sound like a gangster.
Not
by
at
way.
All.
You
sound like a gun packing Bible
like
thumping
actually,
granny. I love
she
you.
She sounds like one of the Desperate Housewives that we
yeah,
haven't seen her basement
the
yet.
The gun one. And now, when you're charged by the police for illegal possession of handguns, I think you know that's a different case
okay,
than you
so
got.
Okay, so that's what occurred. I heard
yeah.
the remarks about six handguns in his house,
yeah.
and your reaction to that. And I just, you know, like you said, it but obviously if it was illegal possession, I didn't hear that part. I apologize.
You are a gun owner. You do not have to apologize.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
gun owners don't
I'm glad
have
to hear that because I kind of thought, I know I must have misunderstood you, Spike, because I've heard you speak before about our Bill of Rights and you're waving the flag for us and stuff, and I appreciate that.
How'd you get to
this woman is creeping me a little.
Why am I creeping you out?
Well, because you
said there are lots of reasons.
Hold on.
I hope you have 56
Spike
reasons.
Spike just put his testicles back up on the mantle for you. Let me just ask you this. Why do you have 56 guns, Susan? What do you need them for?
Well, a lot of them are old guns. I've got a couple Civil War pieces. I mean, I've been collecting them for 35 years. My husband's involved in it, my father, my son, and we...
What kind of a sticker do you have on your window? What does it say?
I have, in every window of my house, I have a sticker that says, "Nothing in this house is worth your life."
Come on in. Right on.
I love the sticker. See, now, and if I put that sticker in my window, people will think I have 56 guns?
That's right.
Bob, I think with an attitude like yours, if I scare you, then maybe it would be best that you didn't have a gun, okay?
It's funny because Bob invites...
Hey, I'm not saying I don't have a gun, by the way.
I know. I did hear that you said something
about... If I have a gun, I'm not talking about it.
I don't know, but Bob invites everybody to this studio, but you didn't invite this woman to show up here.
Well, you can come, Susan, and you could show us maybe a... no, never mind.
But again, there's responsibilities allowed. I have every one of them's in a safe. The safes are all, you know, bolted to the foundation of my home. I mean, you know, it's a responsibility. As much as fun as it can be, it's also a huge responsibility. So,
Susan, where do I get those stickers?
Well, actually, I got them at the gun show that was at the Quest.
The gun show, the gun, gun show, the great Seattle gun show. Yeah, you bet.
Thank you, Susan. Anybody else? Anybody out there who was, I guess, stereotyped because they have a lot of guns? Just quickly, because we only have a minute. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, that's for Spike. Maybe I misunderstood, but he stereotyped people. If you got a bunch of guns, you're a thug. Is that what I heard?
Not at all. I'm saying when you... I'm saying, well, you know, this guy, Tank
Eric,
Johnson...
Eric, do you have the tap dancing music?
What's that?
Hold on. Okay, go ahead. Keep talking.
What I said was, when the police arrest you for having too many guns in your home and no permits... And then you can't really say that you're being stereotyped because you're black, because you wear jewelry, because you got a hairstyle, because you're wearing sunglasses, you know, at night. That doesn't make you a thug. I say that when you have illegal guns in your home and you're glorifying a gun packing mentality, that makes you a thug.
Goodness, I got all kinds of guns. I got two kids in the house. We shoot all the time. We hunt. You need different kinds of guns for different hunt reasons and everything.
Right.
I wear sunglasses and I'm bald. Does that make me a thug?
Not at all. I'm guarantee you that Tank Johnson's assault weapons that he's got in his home ain't for hunting Bambi.
This is true.
Okay,
this is true.
That's what makes you a thug.
How is it possible to make a food with strawberry flavor without harming a single strawberry? Earlier this week, we read the story about all the children's foods that indicate fruit on the label. There's no fruit in there. It's artificial flavors. We wanted to know more about how you can duplicate a flavor as complex as a strawberry or an orange without using any of the original substance. We called this doctor, Dr. Gary Rynexis. He's a professor of food services and nutrition at the University of Minnesota, and he's an expert on artificial flavoring. Welcome to the Bob Rivers Show, Dr. Rynexis. Hello.
Well, hello. It's bright and early for you.
It is.
You're half right. It's early.
And I'm actually drinking a drink now that I bet has artificial flavor in it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, but the label's so small, thankfully I can't read it.
Your eyesight goes.
Yes, the labels do get small, especially ingredient statements sometimes.
Now, I can read on the big part of the label where it says raspberry, but on the little part of the label where it explains raspberry, it's too small for me to read.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, it needs either, A, you need glasses, or...
No, it's very small.
Color.
Okay.
I have contacts. I should be able to read it. Really small.
Or, you know, there are certain requirements for label size, but they can get pretty small in small packages and when there's a lot of ingredients. No, I have a problem with it, too.
What is, let's start with the Nestle Nesquik people, because we actually talked to them, and they were like, yeah, so what, no strawberries? Go pound, we don't care.
Okay, the strawberry Nesquik.
Yeah. Now, they have a strawberry flavoring in there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What is that made of? How was it discovered? And is there any downside to having a chemical flavor?
Okay. Well, obviously, you got numerous questions there, so interrupt me and I'll give an opinion. Well, there's certainly well-defined labeling regulations. And if they would simply show strawberries on the front and say strawberry Nesquik, there should be strawberries in there.
Okay.
You know, not strawberries, but strawberry juice, strawberry puree, you know, maybe whole strawberries, mm-hmm. if it just said strawberry Nesquik. If they say strawberry flavored, then you don't necessarily need the fruit itself, but you need something that's been taken from strawberries, the flavor portion of it.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean the fruit's there.
What does Nesquik say, Joe? We read the label the other day.
It's just strawberry-flavored milk.
It doesn't say that, though. Nesquik, strawberry... I don't think it said strawberry-flavored. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, take a look at that and check it out, because if it simply shows fruit, uses that name in there, and doesn't say anything about flavored, artificial, natural, whatever.
All right, let me give the questions one at a time. Yep. What's in strawberry flavor?
Well, strawberry flavor, per se, simply means the aroma portion of that fruit.
Yeah, that's not what I asked.
Okay.
What's in it?
What's
you're
in
hiding.
It?
You're dodging the question.
How do you get something to taste?
I'm not
How
question.
Do you get something to taste? Let's rephrase.
What's in there? Are there pig entrails in there? What's in there?
How do you make
those taste just like strawberries?
How do you make something taste like a strawberry without using a bit of strawberry?
Yes.
Sure. Well, the flavor industry has spent a long time looking at what is strawberry, for example. They look chemically at what gives you the flavor. And obviously, strawberry is made up of maybe 300, 400 things that you would smell. You
400
know,
smell chemicals.
300, 400 aroma chemicals.
Okay.
That's a natural strawberry. When you take that strawberry in your mouth, that's what you're getting.
300, 400 chemicals in just the right quantities.
Right, produced by nature just for you.
Just for you.
Yep.
Okay.
And so the flavor industry says, well, gosh, there isn't enough strawberry to go around the world. We use much more strawberry flavor than there's strawberries for all purposes.
And sometimes they're in season, sometimes they're not.
And, yeah, even when they're in season, if you took every strawberry on Earth and tried to put it into the flavoring needs, you'd only meet about 10%.
We can't meet our strawberry needs.
Right.
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 And so the industry says, well, okay, people want strawberry. How do we give it to them? We start studying the strawberry. So we look at those 300, 400 chemicals that nature used and said, aha, we can use those same chemicals, man-made or made by some microorganism or mm-hmm. God knows what, mm-hmm. and we can use those same strawberry components, but we maybe only use 20 of them. And that's still the
It'll be close enough.
Yep, and they'll taste it and say, oh, it's strawberry, especially if you put a picture on front of a strawberry.
It looks like a strawberry. It's the power of suggestion.
That's the problem we're having, Doc, is that you say strawberry flavored and you show a picture of a strawberry. How is that not misleading to people?
Well, I think it is. And I've had my son dump out his whole box of cereal looking for the darn strawberries.
It's got faux berries, Jimmy. They're fake faux berry.
I happen to have...
Well, in some cases, that's true as well. That's another story. But yes, if I see a fruit on the front of a package, I expect there to be fruit in the package. But that's me. It's not required.
I happen to have the list of ingredients for strawberry Nesquik right here.
Okay.
And what I've got is sugar, maltodextrin, artificial flavors, citric acid, red 40, salt, blue 1, vitamins and minerals, which aren't exactly explained, calcium carbonate, ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C, zinc oxide, pyridoxine, hydrochloride, which is vitamin B6,
right.
copper gluconate, manganese sulfate, and biotin, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. So there is no strawberry there.
No.
There is no
artificial flavors. Is that right?
Hold on one sec. Doc, while we have you on the phone, Tim is an addict of strawberry Nesquik. Tim, what does it say on the outside?
Hello.
Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
Oh, Yeah, I'm kind of a strawberry quick addict. I've got a bottle in the car, and it says naturally and artificially flavored strawberry milk. So I don't know what the natural is, but
the natural is the milk.
It came from a strawberry.
Well, natural part is the milk.
Right, naturally.
It's naturally
flavored
with milk that you brought home.
Right.
We didn't have anything to do with.
No. This is just stuff
it's
trying to throw in a bottle.
Prepackaged, shake it up, drink it down.
Oh, the milk is in the bottle already?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pre-made.
Okay.
Who's got time?
Naturally and artificially flavored.
That's just naturally and artificially flavored strawberry milk. Strawberry flavored milk. That's what I'm looking at it.
All right, read it verbatim, please.
Naturally and artificially flavored strawberry flavored milk.
Yep, so it's artificially flavored. And so
it also says natural, so what's that mean?
It says on front artificial, and it tells you on back it's artificial. So, yes,
they're
that's
covered.
Where it's getting its
what's
flavor
the natural
from.
Part?
The milk.
The milk.
The milk tastes like milk.
That's a little misleading.
Is there milk in there? You don't add it to milk?
One would hope so.
Hold on.
No cows were pleasured in the creation of this product.
Tim.
It came from a pink cow.
Tim, excuse me. Thanks, Tim.
What he's hopped up on Nesquik. Good luck getting a thought.
What he's buying is, it's like a pint you can buy in the store.
Oh, okay, not the powder that I grew up with.
No. Boy,
so there's milk in that one. All right, Doc, you still didn't give me one chemical. That's all I wanted. What are some of the chemicals in there?
Okay, ethyl butyrate.
Ethyl butyrate.
That sounds yummy.
My dad dated her before
he met
my mother.
Okay. Sure.
Ethyl butyrate, what else?
Oh, you'd find ethyl acetate, ethyl octanoate, ethyl hexanoate. You find a number of esters that are formed by the plant. They use those same esters.
Wow.
And they use the same esters in reproducing the strawberry flavor. They'd use some other terpene-type chemicals. So, no, there's certainly a list of 15, 20 that you could come up with. If you mixed them together, you would say they're strawberry.
What does ethyl and ester mean other than it's the cheerleading roster from a 1930 yearbook?
Well, ethyl butyrate, for example, is ethanol, so alcohol, together with a butyric acid. It's combined to make a single molecule. And like I say, it's found in nature. We consume tons of it, you know, just routinely. Not tons literally, but figuratively.
Now, the FDA is pretty good about making people list what they put in your food.
Not.
Yep.
Well, they are pretty good.
No, I don't want to see artificial ingredients.
Yeah, I
don't want to see artificial flavor. I want to see what's in the artificial flavor.
Well, and that's my question, is why can you get away with just putting those two words, artificial flavor, without explaining what it is? And is artificial flavor always safe? Or do we know that...
Is it always safe? Very good question, Gary.
Well, let's go back to why they don't say what's in the artificial flavor. So maybe if simple flavor has 20 chemicals, what would that mean to you? If they would have listed 20 chemicals, if they listed ethyl butyrate, linalool, terpenes, would that mean anything to the average consumer?
Yeah,
generally,
it would mean it's not food. It would mean I would be scared of it.
Well, so does artificial flavor. That means it's not food.
It would make me scared of it.
Yeah, that's right. And why should it? If it's the same chemicals that was in the strawberry, when you eat that strawberry, it's exactly the same chemical in all manner.
Why
would you be afraid of it?
I don't know. When you're talking to me like that, Doc.
You need is a couple of cute cartoon characters named Ester and Ethel.
Yeah.
You know, you market those like a couple of Pizza Hut.
Snap, crackle, and pop.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so you're making an argument that worrying about the word artificial, not necessarily worth worrying about. You think they're perfectly safe.
Well, I tell you the truth, they're safer than natural.
They're safer than natural.
Right. Do you want to go mushroom hunting with me?
Not really.
You better believe you don't want to go
mushroom hunting.
This guy
is weird, by the way.
He's
a little strange.
Got a little Brokeback Mountain.
I'm glad about meeting you in a chat room on the internet. Okay.
No.
Because
to say nature is safe is foolish. There's an awful lot of things we don't eat.
Well, hold on. Let him finish.
And when somebody uses an artificial chemical in food, that food chemical has been tested for safety with animals, with human beings, with rats.
Injected into rats' butts for years, it's good.
Yeah. And so, you know, when something's been tested for safety versus something it hasn't been, I'm more comfortable with something that's been tested.
Knowing as much as you know about food, I mean, the intricate makeup of everything out there, is there any stuff that you avoid?
He avoids real strawberries, real oranges, blueberries, all that stuff. It's not been tested.
Dangerous.
No.
Bird poop on
I don't avoid anything.
Hot dogs, anything is all okay.
It's all okay.
Well, for the most part, that's true. You will not do well on any given food, any single food. You know, if you eat strawberries and only strawberries, you're going to die.
Hey, Doc, okay, so
you have variety.
Real is dangerous, but isn't natural better than artificial?
You know, in my opinion, yes, it is better. In the long run, I think it's healthier. But I do not make that distinction for flavors.
How much natural does it take to be so for the government to let you call it natural?
Almost none.
Yeah. It saw a strawberry once, so it's all natural strawberries.
No, it's almost That's none. Correct. The word natural means, you know, it's here, it's in the universe.
It's something like organic. Organic is another issue. You know, what is organic?
They have specific rules for organic.
That's correct, but they're fairly flexible.
Doc, let's talk about the future of this science, because if this is where we are now in the year 2000, you know we're going to build a strawberry. How far away are we?
You mean from just the flavor or
from
the
just
whole thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we
can... replicator on Star Trek.
We can do so much with textures. We can. Yeah. We talked about the faux berries. How long before meat is not really meat?
Well, I hope a long time, believe me. They've tried to make meat. They've used soy protein. 20 years ago, they were making meat analogs. There was no meat. It was made of textured soy. They would put flavors in, and everybody rejected them. They were an absolute disaster. They didn't taste good. Mm. And so they went away. We're a long ways from replacing meat. We're a long ways from replacing any given real food product. It just isn't going to happen for various reasons.
Doc, what do you do mostly for a living?
I study the flavor of food for the last 37 years.
This is your specialty. This
Absolutely.
Is
I've got 20 people in my laboratory.
This is your day job.
Chemical composition.
He's
of
got
flavor.
Underlings.
When you guys have your Super Bowl party, what do you serve?
Oh, we have a lot of chips and dips and a little bit of beer and some cheese. And
now, is that beer flavored or real beer?
Well, I don't like flavored beers. I don't put flavor in my coffee. I like coffee. I like my beer. I'm a little bit, anal about such things.
Did you say anal butt?
Anal about.
Watch it, Derek, Doc, trying to keep our license.
I like the foods for what they taste like, what they originally tasted like. I just don't add flavors to them.
Dr. Gary Rynexis, do you have a book that people can read?
Probably not. I have four books.
You're the man.
He's not plugging anything here today. No. Well, can we find you on Amazon?
Oh, sure. You'd find me. And I've written a college textbook in this area about flavors, flavor and food.
But it's
a college text. It's not something the layperson would...
Oprah's not going to be calling you.
No, I don't think so.
Doc, you'd be great on Oprah.
Can you make a book taste like gravy?
Well,
that would be good.
Dr. Gary Rynexis, St. Paul, Minnesota. We'll put up a link to his stuff on our website for those of you who are interested. Thanks, Doc. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good day, guys.
If you want to lose some weight, Leanne Redman says there's a simple way to do it. Leanne is a researcher in human physiology at LSU's Pennington Biomedical Research Center. She's just published a study on calories and how they affect the body. And it's interesting stuff, actually, calorie is a calorie is a calorie. Quite true. However, it all does boil down to diet and exercise. Eat less, move around more. But a few other interesting points that they've found in the study, and we'll bring her on to tell us about them. Leanne Redman, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. In some ways, your study it just confirms a lot of things we already know, but you set out to prove something you got some indicator of. Can you tell us what it is?
Yeah, sure can. So what we did that was a little bit different than the classic diet exercise studies that have been done before is that we had two groups of people. We had a group that was assigned to a diet only, and then we had a group that was assigned to diet in conjunction with exercise. And what makes our study different is that we made each of the groups achieve a 25% energy deficit. And what that means is that we calculated the amount of calories that they would need to maintain their weight at the beginning of the study, and then we made them either cut that through diet by 25% or cut that through diet and exercise also by 25%.
Now, the people who exercised only cut the calories by 12.5%, and then they did 12.5% worth of exercising, thereby proving what? A calorie is a calorie, right?
Yes, so we match them for what we call the energy deficit. You're right. And so one group is half and half, diet and exercise, and the other group is diet by itself.
Diet only, starve myself, not starve, but eat much, much less. So the group that that exercised and dieted, I would assume, did the best.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we set out. That was our thinking at the beginning of the study. And to our surprise, after 6 months of this type of diet and exercise program, we found that for weight loss, it was exactly the same. Both groups lost 10% of their weight, which was about 16 pounds.
But the one group got to eat a lot less food and probably didn't feel as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the same time, the amount of exercise that the exercise group needed to do, that was around an hour a day, so it's quite a lot. It's not normally what people would just do in the gym, you know, on a regular basis. So they also had challenges to, you know, adhere to the study requirements as well. It wasn't just for the food, but for the exercise also.
Now, did you have a control group that just got to, like, eat and drink all the time, anything they wanted, just to see if maybe miraculously they were losing weight too?
We definitely did, and we actually found that our control group lost 1% of their weight doing, you know, what they were regularly doing, but we weren't intervening with any exercise or prescribed diets with these guys.
Your control group lost 1% of their weight, though, because they knew they were part of a scientific study.
And on weight, and they said no to the eighth piece of pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Interesting. And a couple of the other things your study found that I thought were pretty cool. One is that you can't lose weight in one spot of the body. Fat just comes off gradually everywhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this was really, really exciting because people think that they can spot lose weight in different parts of their body. They
doesn't
can
happen.
Target these big areas or whatever.
Yeah, I just want to lose my big ass. I don't care about the rest of me.
Yeah, right. We had different measurements where we could measure the body fat lost over the whole body, and then we also used a CT scan to take pictures of different parts of the body so we could see what was going on in different parts.
Mm.
And what we found is overall for the men, they lost around 27% of their fat all over in each of the parts in the abdomen plus the whole body. And for the women, it was slightly less at around 24%. But again, we couldn't reduce the bad fat, for example, which is the fat on the inside that you can't see, in preference to the fat that's on the outside that we most of us would associate with cellulite. It was the same.
No way to deal
with
that. And there's another disturbing truth that I hate thinking about because I love to eat too, and that is that if you eat less calories, scientific wisdom and evidence so far points to just by eating less calories, you will live longer anyway because we all eat more than we need. Your study backed that up a little bit?
Mm-hmm. So this paper that we've written is actually part of a larger study, which is called Calorie. And this study is being done not only in Baton Rouge, but also in St. Louis and Boston as well. And the aim of that study is calorie restriction for 2 years, so eating less calories for 2 years. And what we're measuring at 1 and 2 years of the study is different markers that tell us about aging.
Mm.
And so that is definitely the theory. And we've just embarked on this study, and we're going to be waiting very tightly for the results in 1 and 2 years' time.
All right, Leanne. And now you don't sound like you have a Baton Rouge accent. Where are you from, if I may ask?
Yeah, no, sir. That's what I'll say. That's Cajun. No, I'm from Australia, actually.
And have you been in the U.S. a long time?
I've been in the U.S. for 3 years. I did some research programs in Ohio, and now I've found myself down in LSU in Baton Rouge. It's really nice. Although we are not enjoying warm weather, by the way, so you're not left out there.
You sound like a very a nice, pleasant scientist to work with for people in this study.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, got a nice. I love the accent.
Is it hard? Is it hard to find people in Louisiana that want to do a
that are
study
fat?
About,
no,
well, no, they want to do
lose
something
weight.
About it. They
want
to quit
yeah,
eating all
we
that.
We are in
good
the perfect
food.
Part of the country to do these kinds of studies, and we do diabetic studies as well. And we have lots of people that are enrolled in those. We also have things for high blood pressure, and we have lots of people enrolled in those as well.
No.
So we don't have a shortage of participants down here. You're right.
I am a little disturbed about this. You can't lose on a certain part of your body. Aren't there exercises that you can, you know, like if you want to lose your belly,
target your gut,
can't
you
do crunches? Although I've got to say, I've lost some weight, and everybody says you know, oh, I can really see it in your face. Well, I wasn't trying to lose weight in my face. I was trying to lose weight in my gut. Nobody ever says, I can see it in your gut.
I mean, well, we just focused on the main areas, which is, you know, the abdomen and then the whole body. We also looked at fat that's deposited in the muscle and also the liver. But you're right, that maybe it's the exercise that we did for this study, and we did just straight cardio. And the people in the study got to choose if they wanted to do that on the bike or the treadmill or the Stairmaster, for example. So we did have a mix of cardio, but we didn't do any resistance training. So maybe a study that does do that kind of training may be able to see some spot reducing, but we didn't.
Leanne, I've noticed something throughout America over the past few years, and I'm wondering if you notice this too, since you've been in the country 3 years now. Does there seem to be a divergence in the way that people are fit or not fit in this country? You talk about the gap between...
Are you saying like the rich get richer and the poor get poorer?
Yeah, the fat are getting fatter and the fit are getting fitter. Is this true or is it just my own perception?
I'm sure that probably is true, and I bet that we could go to the literature and find a whole bunch of studies to back that up. But it seems like it's like that with everything, exactly as Bob just said, the rich get richer and the poor get
right.
poorer. And I think, you know, people are on a trajectory of health, and whether that's bad health, it seems to get worse. Or if they're on a trajectory for good health, they seem to be getting better.
Leanne, do you go to a fitness club?
I do, and we, the staff at the Pennington here, we have a fitness center for our youth.
Oh, that's nice.
Before, during, and after work, so that does make it, you know, a bit easier to fit the workout in during the day.
What do you prefer, spandex or some of that loose-fitting cotton stuff?
Oh, I'm a spandex girl. No,
good.
I'm only kidding.
Do you work with
I'm just asking. She's a scientist, you know.
Do you work with anyone who needs to lose a few pounds and maybe the study helped them?
Pardon me?
Do you work with anybody, one of your colleagues that also took part in this study that maybe is a little overweight and probably should have been part of the study, not just doing the study?
Oh, definitely. There's a lot of people that work here that should have been enrolled in this study. But we do have a lot of staff members that enroll in some of the studies. Mm-hmm.
Not you, Leanne.
Not me.
I got a mental picture of you.
My body mass index wasn't in the range for this study. But
thank
the new
you.
Calorie study, which I mentioned, which we're looking at different aging markers, it's very interesting because in this group, even though they will lose weight, we're including not only overweight people in that study, but also normal weight people.
Leanne, we're going to hear more from you in the future, I'm sure. Keep up
definitely.
The good work. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Have a great day.
All right.